2013, Simply Faith. It's our series for the next 8 months, or at least our theme for the next 8 months. We're going to have a little individual series through that, and it's a theme that's just going to be faith, 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 and more faith. It's going to be about what faith is. We've got another series on what faith is not. We're going to be talking about having faith in the midst of a toxic environment. The name of that series is Toxic. We're talking about having faith and how that faith should impact the various parts of our life, how it should impact our family, how it should impact our community, how it should impact our work environment, how it should impact our finances. We're going to talk about the struggle that we have of being faithful as we're waiting on God to act or waiting on God to speak. Sometimes that's very difficult. Tom Petty said it was. The waiting. We're going to be talking about how to share your faith. And then to start all this off, this first series is talking about exercising faith. It's a series about the basics of faith to lay a good foundation for the rest of the theme over the next 8 months. It's called Exercising Faith. We're talking about, last week we talked about the definition of faith. And if you missed that, then I encourage you to go back and check that out. We gave a nice, thorough definition of faith. Today we're going to be talking about the appearance of faith. What does faith look like? Next week we're going to be talking about the practice of faith. So if you're going to exercise, you need to practice. Practice, practice, practice. And then last, we're going to be talking about the results or the reward of faith, the last Sunday in this series. So last week we talked about the definition of faith and we went to Hebrews chapter 11 because Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 just really spells it out very clear. He says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You guys should be able to quote that if you were here last week, because we said it over and over and over, and we went through a detailed analysis of what that means. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. Now, we're going to be spending some time in Hebrews 11, so if you would go on and turn there, if you're using a Bible app on your phone, then go on and go to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to be kind of camping out there for this series. We'll be bouncing back to it a few times. You need to read Hebrews 11. It is an amazing chapter. It's only, in the NIV, it's only 949. I've got someone back there shaking their head that read it last week. Yes, it is. It's amazing. It's only 949 words in the NIV. That's 10 minutes for a slow reader. I could read it aloud in 10 minutes. Of course, I think I read aloud faster than I do when I read in my head. Because there's so many things bouncing around in there. So Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith chapter. In this chapter, the author of Hebrews lists all these different people in the Old Testament that acted by faith. And he does it in such a format where he says, by faith, so-and-so did such and such. And by faith, this other guy just did this awesome thing for God. By faith, this woman did this other incredible thing through faith. And he goes on that way. To give you an example of what this looks like, go down to verse 4. Let's kind of look at this one for a moment. It says, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. By faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. Now, I want to leave that verse up on the screen because we're going to kind of break this down and look at the different parts here. Because the first part, we see what he did by faith. By faith, he offered a better sacrifice than Cain did. He offered a sacrifice that was acceptable to God, that was pleasing to God. If you have your Bibles open, you can look down in verse 6 and see that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So because this offering, because this sacrifice was pleasing to God, we know it was offered in faith. Yes. So he offered in faith. It was a faith-filled sacrifice, a faith-filled offering. That's what he did. Now, we see the reward in the next sentence. So by faith, we see what he did. Then by faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. So we see the reward or the result, which that part we're going to be focusing on the last message in this series. But right there, we see it. What was the result? Well, he was commended as a righteous man, and God spoke about what he had done. Can you imagine that? I mean, you know you're doing something good when God brags about your worship. You know? And think about that. Can you imagine God bragging about your worship? About an act of worship or an offering or a sacrifice that you made for him or for the kingdom? I mean, for me, that's kind of hard to imagine, hard to fathom. But we have nothing in Scripture that tells us that God stopped doing that after Abel. In fact, we have a lot of things in Scripture that encourage us that God still does that, that he is still pleased, that he's still excited about our acts of worship, about our offering. So I want you to think about that. The next time that you're giving, the next time that you're serving, the next time that you're sacrificing for the kingdom, I want you to think, I wonder if this is making God so happy that he's bragging about it. You know, that's what he did with Job. Have you seen Job? That's how the whole thing started with Job. He's awesome. Look at him. Have the type of faith that God wants to brag about your faith and your worship. So he was commended as a righteous man, and God bragged about his righteousness. God spoke well of his offerings. And then we see the part of faith that we're going to be focusing in on today. And that is this last passage, or last part of this passage. It says, and by faith he still speaks. Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. See, faith, the faith that Abel had, still is appearing today. It's still visible today. It still affects people today. Though the act of the sacrificial offering, the faith-filled offering to God, was intimate and it was private, it was personal, God made it public because God was proud of it. Isn't it pretty awesome to see that, how that transpires? And even today, years and years and years after his body laid in the ground and deteriorated and just worms and, okay, we're not going to get into the details, but years and years later, still today, his faith speaks to us because his faith made an appearance. And that's what we're talking about. What's the appearance of faith? What does faith look like? Before we jump, I want to just take a step back, because before faith can appear, we have to acknowledge that we have it. Because some people will say, well, I just don't have a lot of faith. Or if I just had more faith, then maybe it would show through more. Or if I just don't have the kind of faith to do the things that the guys did in Hebrews chapter 11. Or I don't have the faith to do this or the faith to do that. If I could just get me some faith. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, I got to get me some faith. And then you turn to your neighbor and you say, you got to get you some grammar check. Actually, I want you to turn to your neighbor and I want you to tell them this. And you can use your best movie actor voice if you want. The choice is yours. Turn to them, tell them that. The choice is yours. Let's take some notes. Flip your bulletins over on the back side. Pull out a pen or a pencil and follow along with me as we're going to write some things down here that you're going to need to take home with you. And I want to do my best to try to keep your attention, because we got a foundation to build here this morning for this message before we really get into some of the meat and the heart of it. So, but the journey on the way is going to be, it's good stuff. So the first note here is that I am fully capable of having faith. Therefore, faith is a choice. The choice is yours. I'm fully capable of having faith. You have the ability to believe. You have the ability to trust. You have the ability to act on what you believe. You have the ability to respond to what you trust. Let me illustrate this. Most of us here believe in gravity, don't we? How many of you believe in gravity here? All right. I should see every hand, or I'm going to call someone and get some, I'm going to report some people, get you guys sent into a home or something so you can be safe. Most of us trust that if you fall off of the top of the crew tower, your body will fall at 9.81 meters per second squared. That's about 32.2 feet per second every second until splat. So we act on what we believe. Because if you want to continue living, you stay away from the edge of tall buildings. You stay away from the edge of tall things because you believe in gravity. Therefore, you act on what you believe. You trust that that is true. Therefore, you respond to what you trust. You have the ability to have faith. You are fully capable of having faith. Faith is a choice. If you're a Christian, you've chosen faith once, at least once before. Let's take that personally. In our bulletins, it's all in first person, because I want you to read that and look at it like it's talking about you. It's talking about me. So if I'm a Christian, I have chosen faith at least once before. See, it's not about having faith or getting more faith or I just don't have enough faith. It's simply about a choice. Are you going to choose to have faith or are you going to choose to not have faith? Some of you might think I'm oversimplifying, but it really boils down to a choice. The trouble isn't in obtaining faith. The trouble is allowing faith to be seen. That's where we struggle. I don't think the church struggles with having faith. The church struggles with allowing your faith to be seen. Because what happens when you act on what you believe is that your action is visible. It's seen. Your appearance reflects what you believe. That's what happens when you respond to what you trust. When your response at some point will be visibly measurable. Because your appearance reflects what you trust. Abel acted on what he believed. Abel responded to what he trusted. He offered God an amazing sacrificial act of worship and offering. And many, many years after his death, his faith is still visible. And it should be. Faith should be visible. I'm going to write that down. Faith should be visible. Let's make faith visible here this morning. There we go. Can everybody see that? Faith should be visible. Evidence of our faith will be seen. If we really believe in God, if we really trust in God, it will be visible. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put a bowl over it. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." We're told, you are the light of the world. You're like a city on a hill. You can't hide a city on a hill. Why would you take the light that you have and hide it under a bowl? That's not what God meant for it. He said, you put it on a stand so it gives light to everyone in the room. He said, let your light shine, not so that you can get all the credit for things. Why do we let our light shine? So that what happens? Yeah, that God is glorified, that God is lifted up, that people glorify God when they see your actions. See, faith should be seen. Faith should be visible. Faith is made visible through actions of love. Abel's sacrificial offering was an action of love toward God. Jesus said that the greatest commandment was to do what? Love who? Love God. There we go. And the second's like it. Love your neighbor. All right, some of you guys are getting those confused. It's all right. You got them both. Love God, love others. See, our actions when we love God, sometimes those actions will be very private. Sometimes they'll be very, very intimate, very personal. Sometimes when we love other people, we'll do so, and we'll do so anonymously. We'll do so in a way that we don't want to be known about it. And that's all fine. There is a time and a place for that. I'm not saying you should not do that. But what I am saying is you should not do that alone. You should not do that only. That should not be the only way that you show your faith. Because if that's the only way you show your faith is through private love, private actions of love, then how are you sharing your faith with other people? How are you being a witness of God and the work that he's done in you? Jesus said very specifically in Acts chapter 1 that the Holy Spirit was placed into his people so that they could be witnesses. It's very clear that we are to be visible. Jesus said, you're a city on a hill. Do your good deeds so that people can see them and praise your Father in heaven. Continue doing your private deeds. Continue doing your personal deeds by all means. But don't neglect doing those deeds that are public, doing those deeds that show the changes that God has made inside of you, doing those deeds that show that the gifts that God has given to you. Though there are times for personal and private parts of your faith, there are also times where your faith needs to be visible. And the way that faith is visible is through actions of love. John tells us in his first letter, he says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? If you see someone that needs something and you don't give to him, how can the love of God be in you? If your actions don't support your faith, if your actions don't support what you claim you believe. He says, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with what? Actions and in truth. We are to love with actions and in truth. That is visible faith. And we're reminded in Philippians that it's God who's doing the work in us and God who's doing the work through us. We're told that, for it is God who works in you to will and act according to his good purpose. So it's God doing these things. It's God illuminating you and letting your light shine. That's God that's doing that. So do everything without complaining or arguing. See, we have a part in it, though. We're involved. We're actively involved. So Paul says, watch your attitude. Watch your attitude because it can stand in the way. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. Are stars hidden in the night sky? Sometimes when it's cloudy. But I'm sure the reference he's making is a clear night. So you shine like stars in the universe. They're very visible. Especially in that time, they would have been even more visible. Without all the nasty mess we've got in the air now, and without all the city lights. Shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. That's how we do it. You let your light shine so that you can hold out the word of life. You let your faith be visible so that you can be a witness to other people. A lot of times we choose to hide our faith. And it's a choice that I'm not sure we're aware that we choose. And Paul alluded to it here in Philippians. Because sometimes we hide our faith. Through love-lacking attitudes. I'm going to write that down. Faith is kept hidden by a love-lacking attitude. If actions of love are how faith is made visible, then the opposite is what makes faith hidden. An attitude that prevents love. A love-lacking attitude. Faith is seen through love. It's seen through actions of love. And if you have an attitude that prevents love from acting, your faith will be hidden. See, my faith should govern my attitude. But all too often, my attitude obscures my faith. And that's truth, church. Own that. It's tough. This morning's not an easy morning. I'll give you that now because it gets tougher. You got to own that because it's the truth. Our faith should govern our attitude. What we claim to believe, what we claim to trust, what we're sure that we hope for, what we're certain of what we do not see, that should affect our attitude. That should govern our attitude. But all too often, it's backwards. And our attitude, our love-lacking attitude, keeps our faith from being seen. My attitude is the valve that controls the frequency and purity of my actions of love. You guys know those valves? Some of you guys might still have them in your house on the sink. You turn them all around. Some of you guys have them on your spigot outside. I'm not talking about the little quarter turn ones, okay? That's cheating. I'm talking about the ones you got to turn. All right? Many of you guys have seen these on the toilet. Yeah? That's an important valve sometimes. I mean, when you're panicking and that's all it's coming up, you're looking for that valve. See, that valve, it controls the speed. It controls the amount of water. Sometimes it can shut it all the way off. The valve of your acts of love is your attitude. Tighten down and you keep your acts of love from happening. You loosen it up and acts of love flow out. And it's a choice. I am responsible for the way I choose to treat other people. That's a choice. Faith is a choice, and how you act, your attitude, is a choice. I'm responsible for the way that I choose to treat other people. I'm responsible for my attitude. It is my attitude. I'm responsible for that. Do my choices reveal my faith? We need to ask ourselves this, church, and own this. Own it with all you got this morning. These are foundational things we need to lay for the rest of the year. And it's tough. It's not easy. But we need to face the truth. Do my actions, does my attitude, do my choices reveal my faith? Or do my choices misrepresent the faith that I claim allegiance to? Now I'm going to go positive for a few minutes here. I get this off without the other one coming off. There we go. How is faith visible? What makes faith visible? That should be the next slide. How is faith visible? Let's talk about that for a moment. How is faith visible? Well, first of all, it's through activities that it's through activities that are not easily accomplished outside of faith. Think about some of those things, like forgiveness. You can forgive outside of faith, but it's not very easy. But when you claim faith is what your belief and what you trust in, then forgiveness should come a lot easier. Think about things like loving the unlovable, thankless, anonymous gifts or acts, giving freely. That's how faith is visible, by acts that are otherwise not accomplished very easily outside of faith. Another way that faith is visible is that through personal struggles with external situations and circumstances. See, through transparent faith, through adversity, through troubled times, tragedy. See, when you're still calling God, God, when you're under Nebuchadnezzar's care, as Daniel was, when life around you is awful, and you still say, my God is awesome, I will still praise my God. My God is still my God. That kind of faith is visible. People see that. People will question you. How can you treat other people the way that you do when your life is in such a turmoil? I see what you go through. I see what you're going through in your personal life. How can you still claim to love God when it doesn't look like he's doing anything for you? That's faith. That's visible faith. That speaks. How is faith visible? It's through service, through aid, through help, assistance, or whatever, through giving to those in need. That's how faith is visible. When Paul wrote to the church in Rome, the letter that we have is called Romans in our Bible. Now, I want to give you guys a warning. Don't pack up yet. I need you guys to have that list to be able to refer to that list. I didn't give you that warning earlier, and you guys are normally pretty good about doing that. So leave those lists out. We got some ways to go. When Paul wrote to Rome, the letter that we have in our book, in our Bible, it's called Romans. He had not yet been there, and he was writing to a church that he had not yet seen or not yet had a presence in. And so he was writing some things to them. And the whole book, understanding that really brings a lot of light and meaning to the whole book. But in the very first chapter, we see in verse 8 something that's very important to notice this morning. He says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. Paul writes to him, and in the first chapter, he says, first of all, I want to make sure you know this. People are talking about your faith. Your faith is visible. You have the appearance of faith down. People are getting it. Even Rome has a church and Christians, and their faith is visible in the whole world's talking about. The known world that Paul had at that time is what he's speaking of. And what does he say? See, this is a direct fulfillment of Matthew chapter 5 when Jesus says, let your light shine before men so they may praise your God in heaven. Look at that verse. First, I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you. He praises God for what they're doing. It's the way it should work. And we see it working that way. Church, we need to be that. We need to be that kind of church where our faith is visible And it's not because we want to draw attention to ourselves, but it's because we're doing what we should be doing. Because our attitudes are in check, and love, actions of love are just flowing out of us. And our faith is known all around. I'd love for Paul to be able to write that to our church if he were writing us a letter. Wouldn't that be honoring? Wouldn't that be great? And it's just a choice away. It's just a choice away. In Hebrews, as he lists down the as the author lists down the different things, by faith this guy did this, by faith this guy did this, by faith this girl did this, then he gets to a couple sections that I want to read. They're kind of group sections here. And actually, let me go down to verse 32. We're going to skip the first group section and give PowerPoint a moment to adjust. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. After listing all these things that these people have done by faith, he says, "And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging while others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated." And catch the next verse. "The world was not worthy of them." Oh, I love that verse. Just bam! Church, that's who we can be. That's who we are. It's a choice away. Where are you going to put your faith? Where are you going to put your trust? Is it going to be seen? Is your attitude going to stay in the way of that? This excitement, this visible, this amazing faith. It's the same God. It's the same church. It's the same Holy Spirit. We should even have a greater motivation than those of the Old Testament, because we can be sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. But all too often, we have a love-lacking attitude that hides our faith. And we talked about how faith is visible. Faith is visible through actions that are not easily done outside of faith. Things like forgiveness. For some of us, we have an attitude that keeps us from forgiving. That's all that keeps you from forgiving. You have the ability to forgive. You have the example through Jesus Christ of what forgiveness looks like, how to forgive. But you simply won't forgive. You hold a grudge. You hold that debt current. And it's because you have a love-lacking attitude that has closed off the spigot of your actions of love. We conveniently forget the words of Jesus when he said, "If you do not forgive those who sin against you, then what? Your heavenly Father will not forgive you of your sins." We kind of brush that verse aside when we're struggling with that, when we're dealing with that. And the only thing that stands between you and showing your faith is a love-lacking attitude. Our love-lacking attitude stands in the way of loving the unlovable. And that could be someone that's a needy person. It could be someone at work that's just tough to deal with. It could be a family member. But loving the unlovable, and guys, we're all guilty of this. This is not something, I mean, this is every toe is getting stepped on this morning by the truth of God's word. And it should be. We need to be called to accountable. We need to be called to step it up. And so when we're talking about making our faith visible, this is what stands in the way, and this is an ugly monster, and we need to see it for what it is. Because we see the unlovable and we walk by. We see the unlovable and we try not to look. We see the unlovable and we try to ignore them, forget about them. We avoid them. And you've done it, and I've done it, and we know it to be true. And the only thing that stands between us and loving the unlovable is a love-lacking attitude, an attitude that prevents us from doing that. We have the faith to do it. We have the love to do it. It's inside of us. And yet we hinder the Holy Spirit by our attitudes. We try to ignore them because we know that the right thing to do is to love them. Jesus said, what good is it if you just love those who love you? Don't even pagans do that? Don't even the bad guys? Doesn't the bad guys even do that? He takes it a step further. He says, but I tell you, love your enemies. Love those who persecute you. Not just the unlovable. You know, you look at Jesus' ministry, and Jesus loved a number of different people. And among those different people, he loved the unlovable. He loved every one of us, didn't he? I'm unlovable sometimes. Our attitude should be just like Jesus's. All too often we have a love-lacking attitude, and it stands in the way of us doing anonymous acts or thankless acts. It stands in the way of us giving freely because our attitude is selfish and self-centered. And we want for ourselves. We're greedy, and so we don't want to give. Or we do things for people and we don't get thanked. We don't get appreciation for doing those things. And so we stop doing those things. And that's wrong. Because what has stopped you from doing the right thing? What has stopped you from actions of love? What has stopped you from revealing your faith? It's a love-lacking attitude because you're looking for thank yous. You're looking for appreciation. Jesus said, let your light shine. Not when you get thank you'd. Just do it. It's the right thing to do. You're a city on a hill. That's what you were made to do. Thank yous or not, let that light shine so that people will see your acts and worship your Father in heaven. But our attitude stands in the way. Our attitude stands in the way of serving others. In the upper room, the night of Jesus' arrest, Jesus shares with the disciples a meal. And John records a story that the other gospels don't. And that is when the disciples came into the upper room, Jesus knelt down and he washed their feet. And then he told them, he said, do you understand what I'm doing? Do you understand what I've done? He makes it a point to ask them, I want to make this crystal clear what just happened here. Because see, it was the job of the servant of the house to wash the feet of the guests. So what Jesus did was he took on the act of a servant. And he told them, he said, do you get it? You need to get it. The time is running out. This was one of his last lessons before the cross. He says, do you get it? Do you see what I'm doing? I washed your feet. Now go and wash other people's feet. Now it's not because Jesus is about clean feet. It's not about personal hygiene. You know, cleanliness is next to godliness. That's not in the Bible. Not that I found. But what Jesus was about a clean heart, about a servant's heart, and about servant actions. Because after he did that, he told his disciples, he said, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done. Go and serve others. But a love-lacking attitude will keep you from serving others. It will turn the valve closed. What's keeping us from serving? It's our attitude. And that's a choice. We are fully capable of faith. Getting rid of that attitude is a choice away. You guys want a little air conditioning? Did that work? We're fully capable of it. It is a choice. If we're going to be men and women of faith, it is a choice. And if we are choosing that, then faith should be visible. Our faith should be able to be seen. It should have an appearance. Faith is visible through actions of love. And our attitude is the valve that controls the frequency and purity of our actions in love. Our faith would shine a lot better if it weren't for the sin-driven attitudes that we allow to take precedence in our lives. And that's a choice. Church, how are you going to live? It's not a, I'm going to work on it. It's not a, well, I need a 12-step, you know, here, there, you know, and I'm not knocking that. That's for a different thing. But today we're just talking about faith. You're either in or you're out. It's a yes or a no. It's a choice, and it's that clear cut. It's that cut and dry. And then the second choice is, am I going to have an attitude that allows actions of love to flow so that my faith is visible? Or am I going to continue to have a love-lacking attitude that prevents those love actions from happening? Church, I'd love for Paul to write about us and say, I hear about your faith all around the world. Let's be that church.